So now we come to the next chapter, and it's the chapter 5, the cosmic illusion, mind, dream and hallucination. Now basically cosmic illusion literally means Maya. So though Shobhinder has not used the word Maya, because in its original sense Maya means something else. Maya literally means what measures out. So Maya literally matra, mata, it that which, that power of the Lord which measures out, that is Maya. But the way it is understood today is that it's a illusion. So as we read last time about the rope and snake illusion, which is a very smart way of, you know, sometimes, as I said, cutting the Gordian knot. So you don't take the problem, you simply say the problem is non-existing. So there are people who do like that. If you go to them saying that you have a difficulty, so there is no difficulty. As I said, somebody who met with a fracture, and the simple explanation that my senior was telling him, that well, it's all karma. Now this is like, don't understand, don't try to, it's just karma. So it's a way of saying Maya, is that it's another way of saying that this is all a play of illusion. Your mind is basically either thinking things, imagining things, creating concepts, percepts, systems of thought, and it is all, as long as you live in that, there will be no issue. You may today explain things, justify things, and this is why many people don't turn to, this kind of knowledge, because it opens a vast door and they are happy with stock explanation. Very easy to say that, well, this is Maya. We'll come to it as we go. Human thought, but the beauty is, and the paradox is, and that's where Aurobindo takes us, that how much ever we may say there is Maya, even Shankaracharya saying that world is Maya, still he needs, you know, there is a famous story, let me not name anyone, that someone went to a mystic who said all this is Maya, there is nothingness and all. So at the end he said, okay, then I don't need to give any dakshina or anything. He says, no, you need to do that. He says, why? He says, because I will help you get rid of this Maya. You are carrying Maya, you are attached to Maya. You give it to me. So that way you will be rid of the burden of Maya. So even it's so strange, at least to me, it has always felt like paradox, and that's why the story of Yajnavalkya is so beautiful. That he says that, well, I need the cows with the gold. I don't know whether I know Brahman or not. Everybody has their own experience and idea, but I need the cows. Rather than simply saying that all this is Maya, because then it appeared grotesque, very frankly. And I say this because some people are either afraid or for some reason, but the time has come to speak things as you see them. One of the Shankaracharyas had come here. I think the famous one from Kanchi, or someone who is well revered. Not the one who is in controversy now. So it was a funny sight. I have actually seen it. So the funny sight was that he has to enter into through the ashram door. And there is a man who is always walking with a kshatra. You know, to, I don't know why. It was not raining, but it's a sign that you are someone. So the kshatra doesn't get inside the ashram door. So for some time it was a very funny scene that he will not go inside without the kshatra, and the kshatra cannot go inside. After all the non-attachment to the world and all that, so finally what to do? There was hesitation, there was scramble, all this. I'm a witness to this scene. So finally the man had a brainwave. He just tilted the kshatra a little bit, buddhi. Then he walked in and he rushed in to keep the kshatra again. I said, what is this? I mean, see, this is the paradox in which we live. And that's why much of all this is going to go. Whether we like it or not, divine will have his own instrument. Because you can't fool people all the time. If you believe in Maya, then honestly, you should not go anywhere talking about Maya. That's why Shobindo says that God laughed thrice at Shankara. And one of them was when he went to the four quarters of India saying that the world is mithya. Because, I mean, then there is nothing like, you know, you can't say this particular religion, this particular group of humanity, then you live that truth. That's the end of the story. But it's impossible because human, there is in us something called as nature. It doesn't leave you so easily. And this nature, Sri Aurobindo first described, that we have all human thought will move between affirmation and denial. First he quotes a very long passage, we need not, but it's a very powerful passage on page 428. And this from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, one of the most beautiful Upanishad. It's actually not an Upanishad, it's an Aranyak. So Aranyak is where people, the forest tales. So, but it is very long and a lot of people find it their favorite. To me also, it's one of the favorite. The stories and the way it is. You know, many of the stories we hear about Yajnavalk, one which I am quoting is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So this Upanishad, he's quoting, and we know how Yajnavalk himself, people nowadays, you know, because since we are mentioning him, so just to mention the story, that what kind of, in India, what was spiritual pursuit at one point of time? So at one point of time, Yajnavalk's guru is Vaishampayan, Rishi. So he has taught the Vedas, whatever. And then Yajnavalk raises questions. So after some time, he gets very angry. He said, you have too many questions. You vomit whatever teaching I have given you and go find answers for yourself. And Yajnavalk vomits. He releases that entire knowledge. Goes back empty-handed from the door of his guru. And as he goes, he meditates and then he discovers the famous truths which are today in the Isha Upanishad. And now they have become part of the Vedas. It's something amazing, that story is so inspiring. His whole life is so inspiring. And some of these stories we'll see in the Brihadaranyaka. And of course, the Isha Upanishad is a testimony because he had questions and his guru couldn't answer him. And so, we have this beautiful page 429. But before that, from Prashna Upanishad, another very interesting Upanishad. We'll read that, just one. That long one is Brihadaranyaka, it's very tempting, but I am not reading into it because then I'll read only that. But do read it, it's very interesting. So Prashna Upanishad, what is seen and what is not seen? What is experienced and what is not experienced? What is and what is not? All it sees, it is all and sees. Again and again affirming that it's not like this world belongs to somebody and only that is true. The Lord sees all. See? Everything. There is a little saying of Sri Aurobindo which was put for some time also in one of the guest houses where he says that if the divine lets us stumble, now you see it starts from what a note. If the divine lets us stumble, it is only so that we learn to walk better. He is the one who, okay. And then he teaches us how to walk better. I mean, it's such a complete and beautiful picture perfect. All human thought, page 429, all mental man's experience, Aurobindo, when he writes, no, what a perfectionist. When he writes, sometimes we can miss casually. All mental man's experience. So there is spiritual man, there is vital man. He is referring to rational thinking man, mental man. Moves between a constant affirmation and negation. There is for his mind no truth of idea, no result of experience that cannot be affirmed, none that cannot be negated. So we have the story when someone wrote to Sri Aurobindo that, sir, I've been having a little bit of cold. And you know what? It had a great effect on me. Something like that. I realized that the world is Maya. And Sri Aurobindo says, but that is very easy to realize if you have a cold. I mean, something to that effect. The problem is to get out of this Maya. Realizing world is Maya. Anybody in a fit of blues, so this world is Maya. That's right. But try coming out of the Maya. You will move from one Miss Maya to another Miss Maya. And then a third. Until you ultimately realize, no, we have missed the game. The point I have missed. So then you say, whatever it is there, I have to meet the challenge and grow, upgrade myself. So that is the big challenge of life. But you can move between affirmation and negation. It has negated the existence of the individual being, negated the existence of the cosmos, negated the existence of any immanent or underlying reality, negated any reality beyond the individual. Now we'll come to, you know, we can skip it because this is the kind of different philosophies. At the same time, it has affirmed everything. So, affirmation means this is true. So recently, I got a letter from someone, half question, half letter. He said, whatever one may say, medicine is based on evidence. Now, I've read all this, heard all these things in the discussion. Evidence-based medicine. What do you have to say about it? I said, we'll talk about it. First, you tell me what is evidence according to you. Then we'll discuss. And send a couple of things on some of my talks. After that, he mollified because he thought, you know, evidence, eyes as evidence, ears as evidence, measuring statistically as evidence. Why this is not an evidence now since I've talked about it? Because there's a whole world inside which you are not measuring, you cannot measure, you cannot see. Somebody recovers. It's quite likely that he has tremendous faith in the divine and has prayed to the divine. Now there is no way you can document it as evidence. Somebody in spite of everything dies. There is a famous story of Uma Bose who died, you know, at a young age, 21. She had a throat cancer and died. And Dilip Kumar Roy asked him, why did such a fine flower fade away so soon? And Sri Aurobindo gives a long reply. That reply has come as the riddle of the world. But in the end, after explaining the whole cosmos, in the end he says, well, because she had a very sattvic nature, developed nature. So the question was, why did such a fine flower fade away so soon? And Sri Aurobindo says, she had already arrived at the height of her inner development. If she continued in this body, it would have been difficult for her to continue further because she became a famous singer and sattva. So what else you need? So she took a leap. And I know of instances, even today somebody wrote a letter, 35-year-old lady, and I just asked, show me the picture. And when I saw the picture, it was very clear she is not from this world. She cannot stay for long. But this is the way, there is a whole inner world which we do not know. So the person says, she is getting the best possible treatment. But somehow she is not improving, she is going down. And then you see the contrary thing also. I'm just mentioning this because facts on the surface, someone in America had seen a doctor, not seen as a doctor to patient, but just telling, sharing a story, a real life story. And this person was suffering from a disease with which maximum you can live up to 2 years. And doctors had given him 6 months. And that's the time I met him. Very fortunate because their house, when Champaklalji went to America, he had come to their house. So they were obviously in a great distress. And I spoke to this boy. And this, I'm telling the story just after Corona. 20 or something like that. 2020. And there was a little discussion. He couldn't move, but he could speak a little bit with difficulty. And then he was, maximum was 2 years and minimum was 6 months. And my suggestion was, make the most of your time. Turn towards Mother Sri Aurobindo, not with that I'll live longer or with this desire. Read, assimilate, think, contemplate, hear. So he took that seriously. He started experiencing deep inner change, this, that, 100 things, experiencing. He started writing, experiencing Sri Krishna coming to him. Started with mouth. Now you can speak to a computer, it can make a picture. Making pictures of Sri Krishna. And very nice, beautiful. And dwelling deep into the inner truth. She has been in touch and till date. It's 2026. So his father had come, every year he comes. He said, I don't know what happened to my, it's really a miracle. Now these are real stories. And how it works. So when we use the word evidence, even recently somebody with a frank ECG change of a actual heart attack where there are two kinds of changes. One where the change comes back, T inversion, the other Q wave, where it's like there is an infarction. This will remain all your life. Like a stamp, you had a heart attack. So, typical doctor that you have to go through all this standard procedure. You know, you go through the angiogram, then bypass. And he was, the whole family ultimately said, what do you advise? I said, see, I'm a careless person. My advice is turned. If you really want, my advice is always turn to mother, forget about everything else. Take some minimum medication you should take. Blood pressure and all that you should take. So they took it seriously. After 4 months, 5 months, got an ECG run. That is the reverse which doesn't get reversed. The Q wave disappeared. And cardiologist and every doctor would advise saw it. And they just, this can't be believed. So when we use the word human thought moves between, because there is an evidence to the senses. But you arrive at a point where you say sensory evidence is not enough. Now you can take it to any extreme. You can say even all this is a fabrication, the mind is at play, and you can eventually discover all this is illusion. So human mind moves between a grand affirmation and a grand denial. So nowadays many YouTubers, they want to say that Sanatan Dharma is absolutely wonderful. Of course, fortunately, we have a different kind of YouTuber sitting right here. But generally, they will end up saying that it is all, you know. See, science is also saying it is Maya. Atoms are not real. It's just energy in space. See, our rishis were right. But rishis told many other things apart from this. So we can go to a point where everything we can affirm, if you go purely by the physical mind, sensory evidence, this is the real, so this I can touch, sense, feel, hear. In fact, mother says, if this is your state, you are not ready for spiritual life. This is mother's statement. Her last class, last Wednesday class, 58, she says, if this is your state, where you believe what you see, hear, touch, taste is real, then you are not ready for spiritual life and such people should not be disturbed. And there is the other extreme where everything is unreal, which is easy to prove. Actually, it's in a way very easy to prove because senses are reporting what? A small bandwidth. What are they really reporting? Energy play. How does the eye see? Photons are striking the retina. Okay, retina. I'm hearing language. What is happening? Vibrations are coming. They are through the tympanic membrane. They are going inside. They are the three little bones inside the ear. They are touching. It goes into the brain as vibration. And the brain says, he's saying this. At one level, it's amazing. At another level, it's nothing but vibrations and photons. So we can both ways, we can affirm it, we can deny it. Something happens between the vibration and the brain and you have meanings. So that's where the whole play comes. So that Sri Aurobindo will explain later. But right now he's saying, on page 429. At the outset, next para, man lives in his physical mind, which perceives the actual, the physical, the objective, and accepts it as fact, and this fact as self-evident truth beyond question. This is what I was talking of, evidence. Whatever is not actual, not physical, not objective, it regards as unreal or unrealized, only to be accepted as entirely real when it has succeeded in becoming actual, becoming a physical fact, becoming objective. Its own being too it regards as an objective fact, warranted to be real by its existence in a visible and sensible body. All other subjective beings and things it accepts on the same evidence, insofar as they can become objects of our external consciousness. So what I cannot see doesn't exist. What I cannot hear doesn't exist. And this is the strange part, is science itself tells you. There is so much you cannot see. At least to me, when I read all this in physics, I said, oh my God, I am seeing only this little bandwidth. What about all this? So teachers don't like such questions, you know, that's but there is a whole play of light which I don't see. What we can hear, 20 to 20,000 hertz. And then at my age, and you learn the ropes, you can also have selective hearing loss. When you don't want to hear, you say, "Hain? Ki bole che?" okay, old man, something like that. And they will I don't feel old, but it's good to sometimes, you know, it's take advantage, no? Like my friend, he likes to be young all the time, but when he has to take a seat, he will go and say, aapko sharam nahi hai, you don't have, you're not ashamed, you see a, you know, 65-year-old man standing with a white beard and white, say, okay sir, okay, otherwise he's very young. So there is something called a selective hearing loss, and people can take advantage if they like. So, but it's a fact that these senses report only little. And if we really remain stuck to what I see, what I hear, then forget about tasting and all, is anyways very subjective. Somebody's very tasty thing, maybe another person, bitter gourd. So he says that physical science itself says that, well, its test of the real is possibility of verification. So today what we call as evidence is, can you verify? So in all studies, I'm saying that in all drug studies, and this I'm saying as a doctor, I used to ask this question. There is no element of including things like faith, positive emotions, etc., etc. Because, you know, you can't measure it. And it may have a big role to play. So what you see is only the drug and its interaction vis-a-vis. But there may be a whole world which we do not see. But man also has a life mind. So what is a life mind? It imagines. Now this is another problem. It's a kind of escape. You may believe in science, but still you imagine when you look at moon. See, that's where people say that moon, oh beautiful moon, oh lovely moon, you look like moon. But he may mean that you look like a very deserted, cold fellow, because that's what moon is scientifically. So you can imagine a whole world. It's a relief given to man. It's not given to animals, that we can imagine. We can imagine things that are not. So this is the second way we try to understand reality. I'm skipping these paragraphs. Then we have on page 431. At a certain point of this constant unrest and travail, even the physical mind loses its conviction. So the other is imagination, from where comes also dream, etc. And then finally comes the reason. So this is the three operating systems within us. Now reason is dependent on the senses actually. So you can reason only when you have the data. And what is data? Data is of the senses. So reason is actually normally, ordinarily, a slave of the physical mind. But there is a higher reason. true philosophers, if you read Goethe, higher reason, even for that matter Shankaracharya and Buddha, higher reason, which brings in another dimension altogether. Reason disengages from the sensory output and then it tries to discover that truth. So there is a higher reason, but ordinarily in science we don't use higher reason, we use only the ordinary reason, which is at the mercy of the initial data presented by the senses. Now, having described all this, now on page 432, Shobindo says, or rather page 431, the last line, in India, the philosophy of world negation has been given formulations of supreme power and value by two of the greatest of her thinkers, Buddha and Shankara. See, it's a very amazing sentence. Only Sri Aurobindo can write like this. He has used the word greatest. Sounds very wonderful. Everybody will be very happy. And then he says thinkers. He has not used the word yogis. He is in no way denying them their place, and no doubt, logically, if we see, these two are amazing. And Indians should be proud about this part. No doubt that if you read, at least I was so flabbergasted when I read the logic. I said, everything that I am reading in this Shankaracharya's philosophy, there is something which is fundamentally wrong, but I can't pinpoint because the reasoning is so impeccable. I said, something is missing. But basically, rationally, he's right. Of course, at 17, 18, that's the age when you can't get to it and then you discard all of this. So then he speaks a little bit about them. But they are the ones who, the spirit of these two remarkable spiritual philosophies. For Shankara, in the historical process of India's philosophical mind, takes up, completes and replaces Buddha. Though it was a reaction to Buddhism. So if you read the earliest debates, you see that, you know, Buddha said he was regarded as avedic because he completely negated karmakand. You don't have to do all these rituals, puja and prayers. You don't need it. What about God? Gods? No. Ultimately, of course, Mahayana and Hinayana, I'm not going into Buddhism where you have Mahayana, Hinayana, and the most difficult of all, Theravada. So, and there are sub-branches. But primarily, Buddhism in its original sense, it discarded this entire thing and said, there is nothing to explain. You have a problem of suffering, you have to find a way out of it. And the way out is Nirvana, the Eightfold Path. And when you read it, it's amazing. It's very powerful. And you end up, yes, why all this mental gymnastics? That's how even today we have this idea, why life divine? Everything is understood. No, it's not understood. They don't explain all these details. Buddha showed a way. He was not interested in metaphysics at all. That was not his forte. So Shankaracharya, because Buddhism influence came up very strongly, many Hindus, Sanatan Dharmi became Buddhists. So there was a problem. So two things happened. One was Shankaracharya rose in reaction. That no, there is a reality. You can't deny that there is no Brahman. So he affirmed the Brahman. And there was another very beautiful way that I really appreciate Indian thought in that sense. What it did, it accepted Buddha as one of the branches of Sanatana Dharma. Now what do? Buddha is one of the avatars. Vishnu Puran speaks about Buddha as one of the avatars. His name is Maya Moha. End of the story. Yes, we accept. Sanatan Dharma is so amazing. Christianity came. We didn't fight Christians and Christ. Of course, they took a lot of wrong advantage of this. Buddhists didn't, but they started converting. But what did India do? Achha, ek Bhagwan aur bhi hai. Hamare 33 crore Bhagwan hai. Church mein bhi chhe. You know, this was a way of integrating. So that is how Buddhism and Shankaracharya both have been integrated into mainstream Indian thought. Christianity could not be, because they started dividing and fighting, and of course, Allah Allah wala to halla hi ho gaya. So, you know, people stay away because that's gone too much. Though, frankly speaking, even that can be integrated. And this, because if you look at, just because we mentioned Christianity and Islam, Christianity is about the love aspect of God. Whatever limited way it is understood, it's okay. So what is left when you speak about love? You have left force. So force aspect is taken up by Islam. And there is a whole theory about Islam that it's about, Shukracharya and Rudra. So like Rudra, they created destruction. The destruction was necessary. You can explain the whole thing as basically love and force. And this is an aphorism of Sri Aurobindo which says that why Muhammad's mission was necessary, because of the love without force is not sufficient. But either of them is incomplete without the other. So this is just a little background, since we are mentioning Buddha and Shankara. Has weighed with a tremendous power on our thought, religion and general mentality. Everywhere broods its mighty shadow. What a lovely way Sri Aurobindo uses this. I love the language. Everywhere there is Shankara looming all over. But how he has used the word? Mighty shadow. It has cast a shadow on Indian thought. Everywhere is the impress of the three great formulas. And you'll see it everywhere. Any sect, any cult. Doesn't matter whether people believe in Shankaracharya, Buddha or not. This is common. So what is common? The chain of karma. Is there in Buddhism? Is there in Sikhism? Is there in many of the sects and cults which are based on that? The chain of karma. The second is escape from the wheel of rebirth. You take up anything. You take up Buddhism, you take up Jainism, you take up Sikhism, you take up any of the, I'm talking of Indic religions, ultimately you have to escape from the chain of rebirth. And the third is Maya. Because how to explain this universe? It's a Maya. Maya badi thagani. So, these have got deeply inside Indian thought, because it explains everything. It gives you a understanding of what this world is. It's an appearance. Science also says it's an appearance. So QED. That's a fact. Ultimately, it's all electron, proton, neutron. Whirling in space. What are electron, proton, neutron? Energy. What is this energy? At the end of it, it's Maya. So it goes consistent with today's thought. So what is the way out of this Maya? Cut the cycle of, come out of rebirth. If you enter into birth, you will be subject to Maya. Maya will give you pleasure and pain, sorrow and joy. So what is the way out? If you are born again, sorry, no choice. This is Maya's realm. So what to do? Come out of this whole business of Maya, this creation in which you are being trapped by rebirth. So sounds so strong. And now the question, why you came into rebirth, who came into rebirth, how this individual soul, don't raise this question, because that is very uncomfortable. There are no answers to that. And yet there are people who have these questions, who must have these questions. And that's where Sri Aurobindo comes in. That is this just a meaningless chain, cycle created by... And that's why Buddhism is that way more complete. He says there is no Brahman reality. He says it's energy. Very clear. It's more logical if you ask me. It says there is no God, there is no Brahman, nothing. It's a energy, which science will agree. It's in motion, throwing up forms and names. Random events taking place. You are trying to... But where it gets caught is when it uses the word rebirth. What is rebirth in Buddhism when there is no soul? So it says there is a knot, a bondage. A knot which is a bit of information and the ego self which somehow get knotted together and go through the cycle. So it's very simple. Cut this knot, there is a way and come out. So it has got a very strong impress. So Sri Aurobindo says, it is necessary therefore to look afresh at the idea or truth behind the negation of cosmic existence, and to consider, however briefly, What is the value of its main formulations or suggestions? On what reality they stand? How far they are imperative to the reason or to experience? For the present, it will be enough to throw a regard on the principal ideas which are grouped around the conception of the great cosmic illusion, Maya. So that's why he takes up that, well, you can't just bypass and go into life divine. This is a big problem, or, well, what is called as a solution in Indian thought. And therefore, he is taking up this chapter and he'll go into a depth as to what really is this Maya. And then before he talks about going beyond, because Ishapanishad has given it only as a vidyancha, vidyancha, yastha dvedo bhyam saha. But as it is understood, so he will go, he will become, it will look like he is validating Shankara, and then he will talk of going beyond. So there he starts. One more little paragraph we can read. In itself and by itself, the vital being's aversion, the life mind's recoil from life, cannot be taken as valid or conclusive. So one of the reasons why human thought accepts it easily, because whenever we lose things, we are unhappy. Or if we are not unhappy, we see people are unhappy. Then we say, today it's okay. You know, somebody went to a mystic. He was telling me how he turned to God. Very interesting story. So he said, I was a super rich man. In Africa, he earned a lot of money and came here. So he met an illusionist. So he said, see, whoever asked him money, he said, I have earned by my this thing, I will not part a penny. Till somebody told him, one of the lectures he heard, only one sentence caught his attention. In this life, you may be very rich. In the next life, you may be a very poor man. Now he got frightened. He said, my God, what if this is true? So he said, what do I do with my money? He said, give it away. Where do I give it away? Build a temple, build some. So he built a whole, you know, Vanaprastha place for the old people. He said, let me do some good, super rich man out of all this. He says, and it was very easy for him. This is an illusion, and only there is a greater truth. Brahman is real. He took to the Arya Samaj doctrine. And then suddenly one day, he comes across the mother and Sri Aurobindo. And then he says, this is the truth, actual truth that I am really looking for. And he changed track. It's very rare. Because it's very convenient that now this world I have become rich. Let me do something for the other world. For moksha. And if I am not rich, anyways I can blame it on karma and maya and come out. See, it is so attractive a doctrine. God's intention, God's purpose, forget about it. That's too much. So he is speaking about it. Nevertheless, there is a certain validity in the mental support of this sense of frustration. So he says that why people turn towards illusionism is either a sense of disappointment and an acceptance of frustration, which has no greater claim or conclusiveness than the idealist's opposite motive of invariable hope. So these are human beings try to make the best of it by idealism, and then they realize it doesn't work out, or they are disappointed, frustrated. So human thought moves between these two. Nevertheless, there is a certain validity in the mental support of this sense of frustration in the perception at which the thinking mind arrives that there is an illusion behind all human effort and terrestrial endeavor. It's a very comforting thing, frankly, that you are not the only one who is feeling cheated or lied. You know, everybody. Maya badi thagani. Sabhi thage ja rahe hain, thagon ki nagri. You know, all kinds of things we have heard. It's a city of thugs. And everybody is cheating somebody or the other. So you are also cheated. It's not your problem. It's the problem of Maya. So come out of it. It's really a philosophic balm. So he says that in frustration, there is an illusion behind all human effort and terrestrial endeavor. The illusion of his political and social gospels, the illusion of his ethical effort at perfection, the illusion of philanthropy and service, the illusion of works, the illusion of fame, power, success, the illusion of all achievement. The problem is, this kind of illusion may take you toward depression, as happened in the life of actual filmmaker Guru Dutt, a genius, one of the best filmmakers ever. And he committed suicide at the age of 39, 40. And if you see his movie, his last testimony was, I think, Kora Kagaj, but before that, Pyasa. So the movie ends on a strange note. This man suddenly gets fame, gets money, which he was striving for as a songwriter. And then he attends a party and realizes the vanity of it all. And as he walks away, he sees a poor man and takes away his coat and gives it to him and just walks into oblivion that this is not what I want. So it has, these things have very powerful impress upon the human psyche. That at the end you realize, and there is a famous song in that movie, Ye duniya agar mil bhi jaye to kya hai, Shahir Ludhianvi's. And it appeals to an aspect of human consciousness. Yeah, see, that man did this to me, this. Always there will be some people. What I am doing, that's not important. So, when you look at it, or somebody dies, like the story of Kabir, that, you know, when somebody went to meet Kabir, so his son told him that he has gone to the Shamshan, the place where they cremate. You can meet him there. He said, how will I recognize? He'll say, you will see a sun behind his forehead. He said, okay, is it? I can see. He said, yes, yes, you can see it. So he goes there. There he sees there are 20 people with this halo around their head, behind their head. Now he's confused. Who is Kabir? So he follows them and sees slowly, slowly everybody's halo is falling down. But there is one man whose halo remains. And he says, are you Kabir? He says, yes. So this is a typical example that somebody who knows this world is Maya, and you realize that truth, Nirgun Bhajan, if you read all, I mean, hear all that. So life is full of suffering and sorrow. So this is one reason why people turn, when they realize the illusion of all their efforts. Human social and political endeavor turns always in a circle and leads nowhere. People change governments. But at the end, you may feel frustrated that, well, nothing fundamentally changed. They never think that I have to change myself. No, that's difficult. Government will do something. Man's life and nature remain always the same, always imperfect. And neither laws, nor institutions, nor education, nor philosophy, nor morality, nor religious teachings have succeeded in producing the perfect man, still less a perfect humanity. And you have these experiences in life. One of our good friends suddenly one day reaches in the morning, I want to get married, asking us to be a witness. So he was already, you are married? No, 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 I have now find the person of my choice. So he was married 4 times, okay? So this was the 5th one. Okay. Chalo, sign le lo. Did the sign. This marriage lasted for 15 days. Now, because, you know, but beauty is that he grew on a rapid track through all this. He's one of those who came here and Champaklalji, in first look, he gave him Shobindu's relics. You see outwardly and you see the inner life, because he was on a fast track feeling this life at the end, you know, oh, this is life. So this is one kind of a approach. This is not the ideal approach. Shobindu would say that. So people say that straighten the tail of the dog as you will. It has been said it always resumes its natural curve of crookedness. Swami Vivekananda is famous. He was prone to get angry, and when he got angry, he would blow off his head. All this was known. Sri Ramakrishna, he would ask Ma Sharda, how long will you take for the pakodas? Prawn pakoda he used to love. And people are waiting to hear him. And he's a realized person. There's no way he belittles him. And he is waiting. How long you will take for the prawn pakoda? And poor lady, you know, she... So That's why when somebody asked Sharda Ma about Swami Vivekananda, Sister Nivedita asked her, that he is, when he talks about Brahman, it's just amazing. What a vastness he enters. But when he gets angry, I can't understand. Is it the same person? So she had a very interesting explanation. She said, yes, it's the same person. You know what? If he knows who he is, Thakur told, he will not stay. So a veil of Maya, you see Maya comes in. A veil of Maya has been put over him so that he can remain attached to life. Otherwise he'll leave. The day Narendra understands who he is, he will leave. And that's what happened. If you read his memoirs, last 2 years, he's asking Ma Kali, come as rain, come as plague, finish me. I mean, he literally goes like that. So this is one approach. Altruism, philanthropy and service, Christian love or Buddhist compassion have not made the world a whit happier. They only give infinitesimal bits of momentary relief here. All aims are in the end transitory and futile. Whatever changes are made in human life are of the form only, and these forms pursue each other in a futile circle. For the essence of life, its general character remains the same forever. So first he states this entire thing, and then he says that, well, this is one way of looking at Maya as pushing you away, but this is not sufficient. It doesn't have sufficient force. If you go because you find life difficult, let me go to an ashram because family life is difficult. You'll 100% make a family in the ashram because you are finding life difficult. But if you go with the idea that life can be and must become perfect, that is the other side of the story, Shorbindo's yoga. But even before that, he says, this negative recoil from the world, because world is imperfect, therefore let me seek the divine, has its own force, but it is not sufficient, because man is bitten by the Vasuki of Shiva, and he has within him the flute of Krishna. So whatever you may say, that life is like this, take to Maya, take to, it is all Maya, take to Brahman as the sole reality, he will pay a lip service, but he will never accept it as his complete doctrine, because man wants to understand. And that's why I feel, with which we'll stop today, tomorrow, maybe few people are reading. 50 years down the line, people will turn to life divine because they will not have their final answers. But they must go through this phase, have the questions still burning, have the aspiration, not rubbish it off because some acharya says your aspiration is futile. Your aspiration for perfection, for true love, flawless happiness. If this aspiration we nurture, then one day, if not today, maybe 50 years down the line, man will have to turn to Sri Aurobindo and the mother. He will turn, because nowhere else we get a perfect answer to our hopes. So we'll meet tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have two sessions. Then day after tomorrow, it's Auroville. So those who want the bus once again can write their names here.